But first, in what is the biggest state investment in renewable energy in New South Wales history, the Berejiklian government has announced an additional $380 million to kickstart investment in the state's new renewable energy zones. Tuesday's budget announcement brings the state's total spending towards solar, wind and storage projects to over $500 million. Funding will go towards the creation of renewable energy plants in five planned renewable energy zones for New South Wales: Central West, New England, Riverina, Hunter and Illawarra. Energy Minister Matt Keane said that the New South Wales government has committed to the most ambitious renewable energy policy in the country. Talia Kreft asked James Hart, an associate of the Grattan Institute's Energy and Climate Policy, why we're seeing this record spending in renewables from the state government now.
One of the reasons is that New South Wales currently gets most of its electricity from coal, but the coal-fired power stations in the state are aging, and many of them are due to be retired over the next couple of decades. So as to shore up the state's electricity supply, Matt Keane in particular has spoken about the need to ensure there's sufficient investment in new electricity generation, and is particularly looking to renewables to provide that as a way to help meet the state's goal of achieving net zero emissions by 2050.
How does the state's energy spending compare to the federal coalition, who have just recently backed the $600 million gas-fired power plant for the Hunter Valley? Why are we seeing this great difference in energy policy from these two coalition governments?
That's a really good question. We have seen a split in both between parties and within parties on climate change in recent years. The New South Wales Liberal government has a net zero by 2050 commitment, whereas the federal government has expressed a preference for reaching net zero by 2050, but hasn't made that commitment specifically just yet. And that may be partly driving the difference in policy between the two levels of government.
With Barnaby Joyce returned as leader of the Nationals and putting pressure on the coalition to move away from setting a net zero 2050 emission target, there is growing calls for the state government to step up and implement its own targets. Is it likely that we could see greater action from the state government on this front?
Sure. So all of the states and territories in Australia have currently committed to achieving net zero emissions by 2050 or earlier, which means even if the federal government doesn't make that its policy, Australia has a de facto national target of net zero by 2050 at the latest. In terms of how New South Wales can go about achieving that goal, so there are many sources of emissions in Australia. The investment that the New South Wales government has announced to support renewable energy will help to reduce emissions, firstly, in the electricity sector. New South Wales government is also conscious of the fact that a lot of emissions come from the transport sector. So we've seen over the weekend the New South Wales government announce a policy to increase support for the rollout of electric vehicles and zero emissions vehicles by removing stamp duty from these vehicles and offering a $3,000 rebate on lower priced models. Longer term, another major source of emissions in New South Wales comes from fossil fuel production and comes from coal mining. Given that a lot of the coal produced in New South Wales is exported largely to Japan and China and South Korea, the emissions from that sector will likely fall as demand for Australian coal falls as well. Three of our largest export partners, the three I just mentioned, Japan, China, and South Korea, have all set net zero targets, which means that their demand for Australian coal is likely to decline very substantially over the next few decades. So as demand for our product winds down, it's likely that production of coal in New South Wales will phase down as well.
How many jobs would be created in these planned renewable energy zones in areas like the Hunter, where many people are reliant on coal-fired power plants and coal mines for employment? Would there be long-term employment after these plants have been constructed?
Sure. So it doesn't take that many people to operate renewable energy generation to operate wind turbines and solar panels. So the ongoing jobs number is not likely particularly high, though there will be a number of jobs during the construction phase. If we distinguish between the workers at coal-fired power stations and the workers in the coal mining industry, the workers in the coal-fired power stations, they already know that the plants they're working in are likely to be retired over the next few decades. There are fewer of those workers than there are in coal mining, given that so much of our mining goes towards exports. But one thing that the government, that both the state and the federal government are cognizant of, is the fact that those jobs will be at threat if and when the world moves decisively to reduce global emissions. And so making sure that there are investments in alternative industries based on renewable energy today, setting ourselves up to harness that opportunity over the next few decades, is going to be really important to make sure that we have ongoing, well-paid, stable jobs in those regions. And you know, New South Wales has excellent renewable energy resources. So there is Australia has a competitive advantage in the global market in terms of the quality of our renewable resource. And that gives us a really good opportunity to potentially do some value adding with our renewable energy, particularly through manufacturing jobs based on renewables, such as the manufacture of hydrogen, or potentially combining that with Australia's world-class iron ore resources to produce something like green steel.
Would the creation of renewable energy power plants speed up the closure of the state's 5 coal-fired power plants, which Matt Keane says he expects could happen over the next 15 years?
That is hard to predict. So the electricity infrastructure roadmap that the state government is implementing aims to bring 12 gigawatts of new renewable capacity online by 2030 and 2 gigawatts of long-duration storage, in addition to Snowy 2.0, to be in place before Eraring is scheduled to close in 2032. What we've seen in other states, in particular Victoria recently, is that coal-fired generators have been bringing forward their nominated closure dates, potentially because the plants are becoming less reliable with age and partially because the economics of coal-fired generation are not as good when you have so much solar, particularly in the electricity market, that's eating into their profit margins during the day.
What impact do you expect the creation of these renewable energy power plants to have on power prices?
Prices are notoriously difficult to forecast. In any market that's oversupplied, you are likely to have depressed prices. And if the electricity infrastructure roadmap does mean that we get 12 gigawatts of new renewables and 2 gigawatts of storage coming in, and we have no coal-fired power stations bring their closure date forwards, then you will probably see prices fall because the market will be oversupplied. But as if one of those plants does bring its retirement forward, or if other generators leave the market, then the laws of supply and demand suggest that prices will stabilize.